I know that's just movie stuff, but what I wanted to show you, it depicts something that's going on in our world and our culture today. You know what? Everybody wants to abandon their post. They want to give up. All they want to do is whatever they want. Just go and live your life, whatever you want to do. Whatever makes your little heart happy, you just go and do. But I don't know if you understand or you even see the world around you, but there is a spiritual war going on. Amen? Amen. And I think it's time we prepare for battle. Amen. All right. Our scriptural quotes for this month, let's get into them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. The NLT says this: instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if somebody asks you of the hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and a respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Amen. Remember, your defense is twofold. Number one, it's what you know about what you believe, right? You got to have some kind of information to know why you believe what you believe and what the evidence is. And secondly, it has to be a life lived out in that belief. Amen? Amen. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The NIV puts it this way: we demolish arguments. I love that. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Oh, that's so awesome. I love those two verses. Now, I don't have any forms for you today, and I don't have a lot of verses. I only got seven of them today. And like Matt Trammell did last week in an awesome way, we're just going to go through evidence, logic, and reason, and science, and history, and archaeology. Amen? Because I do use the Bible. I mean, don't get me wrong. We do use the Bible because this is the foundation for everything you believe. Amen? Okay, but I'm not going to use it today because I'm going to use logic and reason, historical science, everything to go back and back up that thing to be 100% accurate and true. That's why I believe that, because I've got evidence. All right, let's get into this. Do you know what an ad hominem is? You should know what an ad hominem is because all your politicians use it all the time. According to Merriam-Webster, an ad hominem is this: it's something that is marked by or being an attack on an opponent's character rather by the answer of the contention that's made. Let me give you the Zedeker paraphrase dictionary. He would say something to the effect of, an ad hominem is attacking somebody's character regardless of whether what they're saying is true. That way people don't believe it, right? Doesn't matter if something is true. If you attack somebody's character, people won't believe what that person has to say. And that's what an ad hominem is. And so many people do that. Our politicians do that. Atheists do that as well. Because if they can create Christians to be not a very good group of people, then you cannot believe what they have to say. Now, according to the Bible, Jesus says that we're to pray for our enemies. We're to do good to those that persecute and hate us. And unfortunately, I'm in the flesh. I haven't got a glorified body yet. And this person, I would love to punch right in his throat. And so pray for me. But it's people like this that really aggravate Christians. But if you know anything about what you believe, it shouldn't bother you. Because you'll have a ready defense. All right, roll number one.
When trying to reason with biblical literalists, they'll say that their Bible is historically accurate, even though the best they can show is that only some of the people and places mentioned in those fables were real. Which, of course, it would be, since fictional stories are usually set in real places and often mention famous people of that time. But there is absolutely no historical or archaeological evidence that the stories are true.
Wow.
And biblical scholars often admit that they're evidently not true. Believers might also argue that the Bible is scientifically accurate, even though the earth is not flat.
Who believes it's flat?
There is no firmament. The sun is just another star. Snakes and donkeys can't talk. Whales are not fish, and bats are neither birds nor locusts. Ritual spells won't purify anything, much less cure anything, because diseases are caused by pathogens rather than demons or curses. And looking at a striped stick will not cause a cow to conceive a striped calf. There was never a global flood either, nor could there have been.
Wow.
Everything the Bible says about any field of science is laughably and indefensibly wrong. Christians brag that Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament, but if they're all as contrived as these, then it's no wonder the Jews are still Jewish. It's a wonder any of you still believes in God at all.
Oh, wow. So you want to punch him in the throat too, don't you? I'll pray for you. Listen, that technique is what's called dumping. And that's what they do. They take a ton of information and they just dump it on you. You can't address each thing one at a time because he's just throwing so much stuff at you that it's like, wow, my God, that dude's just, wow. He talks really cool. He must be smart. No, he just doesn't give you time to address anything that he's talking about. I don't have time to go through all this. I would love to do that. You do your homework on a lot of the stuff. Historical, archaeological, scientific, the evidence that we have is insurmountable and numerous to even list. Like I said, who believes the earth is flat? Nobody. You know what? And that's what they do. They try to make Christians to be dumb. Now, there are some that still believe it's flat. There's some atheists that still believe the earth is flat and many different things. I won't even get into that. But let me give you that. He said that there's absolutely no evidence historically accurate to back up anything. Until 1968, the science world said that the Bible was absolutely nuts when it talked about Abraham and the cities that was listed over there. Because it talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, well, where's Sodom and Gomorrah today? Oh, God destroyed it. Oh, yeah, that's a likely story. Whatever. Oh, but then all these other cities, Adma, Zeboam, Zoar, all these different places, they're like, they've never existed. We don't have any evidence. That's just a bunch of garbage. But you know what's awesome? In 1968, Rome University, in an excavation of the site in the Sumerian area, what they did is they found tablets, and I don't know how to pronounce it, because I don't know how to pronounce English, let alone other kingdom stuff, but it's either called Ebla or Ebla, and so this Ebla kingdom, they found 1,000 tablets, and on one specific tablet, talked about the area, the culture, the economy, all of this stuff, listed cities, where they were located, exactly, and so in this one tablet in specific, it lists these cities in this very specific order: Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboam, and Zoar. Do you know what's funny about that? It's because it lists it in the exact same order as Genesis 14:2. Listen to this. Genesis 14:2, and Abraham went against the other kings. They made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, Shemabar, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. All five of those cities listed in the exact same order that the Ebla kingdom tablets did. I just verified those cities existed based off of non-biblical sources. They thought we were stupid, nuts. Do you know what happens now? No scientist talks about these cities no more. Why? Because they know that it's a fact that they exist now. It's amazing. Oh, I love science. And God loves science, and science needs God. Okay. So, now he talks about how things are so scientifically inaccurate and all this stuff, and I don't have time to go through all of these things. But when you're dumping and you're throwing allegations out, man, you got to give people time to respond. How many of you believe all snakes talk? How many of you believe all donkeys talk? And don't talk about the other word, because I know you could be pointing, well, that guy, don't go there, nasty-minded people. But here's the idea. I don't believe that snakes talk nor donkeys, but I believe one miraculous serpent in the Garden of Eden spoke by the power of Satan. And I believe it. If you go back to the book of Numbers, you'll find out when Balaam was riding the donkey, the Bible says that God miraculously opened the mouth of the donkey and one donkey talked. I don't believe donkeys talked. I don't believe snakes talk. Amen? Good gravy. Who believes that stuff? That's nuts. And so he talks about these other things. And let me just give you this. Some of this information is in a resource we have on our online website. Go to our missionpointmansfield.org. You go to the resource section and you'll find that there's all kinds of this information. It gives a lot more. Matter of fact, I think I talk about unicorns and why they're in the Bible and all that stuff and so much more information. But he talks about how whales are not fish. Okay, well, that's fine. Sure, whales are mammals, right? Do you believe that? Yeah, sure, absolutely. Why does the Bible say a whale's fish? Okay, well, it goes to the word taxonomy. You know what taxonomy is? You know what a taxidermist is, right? Somebody that stuffs a bunch of animals. Okay, so taxonomy, that's kind of dealing with the same type of thing. It's where we categorize animals. It's the category. A cat is in the feline category. A dog is in the canine category, right? Okay, so that's taxonomy. So what you have to understand is this. When we talk about taxonomy, what am I doing? Am I talking about modern day 2021 taxonomy? American taxonomy? Or am I talking about biblical Hebrew taxonomy? Because you got a difference there, folks. A huge difference. Now, let me quote this source. In the Dictionary of Biblical Languages of Semitic Domains, Hebrew, it states this, paraphrase. Anything that swims in a body of water, no matter how large it is a fish. Is a seal a fish? Okay, according to Hebrew taxonomy. See, that's where you got to get your information. Are you talking about Hebrew taxonomy? Or are you talking about modern day English taxonomy? Which one are you talking about? You want to talk about modern? No, whale is not a fish. You go back in Hebrew? It's a fish. Do you get the point? So is he proving us wrong? No. Absolutely not, because what do we always say? You got to go back to what? The original. It's source. Go back to the Bible. Don't try to update it to modern, because you're going to have some complications. Because they classified anything that swam in a body of water as a fish. Is a shrimp a fish? According to Hebrew taxonomy, sure. Is a crab? I don't know if a crab, is a crab swim? Crab's a fish. Sweet. There you go. Is a seal? Sure. Absolutely. So is a whale. So anything. So when we come to the book of Jonah and it says, oh, Jonah was swallowed by a fish. What was it? We say whale. Why? Whale's not a fish. Well, according to Hebrew taxonomy, it could have been. I don't know. Maybe it was just a giant sea creature. Could have been. It's just a fish. Who knows? Something that swam in the water. I don't know. I wasn't around back then. So then we talk about bats. Is bats birds? Are locust birds? No. Oh, if you're talking about English taxonomy, right? I think a locust is an insect, and I don't know what bats are considered. Maybe they're just in the bat category. I don't know. Mammals? Excellent. Guess what? You go back to the Hebrew taxonomy, same dictionary, same Zediker paraphrase. Anything that has wings and flies is a bird. So according to Hebrew taxonomy, is a bat a bird? Absolutely. Is a locust a bird? It has wings and flies, right? Okay, so it's a bird. So when the Bible talks about stuff, don't let them ridicule you based on, well, yeah, they call it, bats aren't birds, locusts aren't birds, they're insects. Have a defense. Well, that's American modern day English taxonomy. But back in original Hebrew taxonomy, yeah, they classified animals a little differently. So it's 100% accurate. Amen? Oh, man. He said the global flood never existed either. I don't want to go into that. I've refuted that so many times. I've given so much archaeological, historical. Matter of fact, when Mount St. Helens erupted, you just look at that, because it created what's called the mini Grand Canyon. Because in days, 5 days, it created a Grand Canyon, 1/4 of the scale of the Grand Canyon. 5 days it created that because of Mount St. Helens eruption. It's amazing. And then it's got 70 and 80 feet of layers of billions and billions of years that happened in 5 days. That's awesome, isn't it? Oh. Anyway, there's enough water inside the earth. They found 400 and some miles below the surface of the earth is an ocean of water that'll cover the earth above the mountains. There's insurmountable evidence to prove and absolutely suggest that there was a global flood. I don't even want to get into that one. And then he goes into the ad hominem stuff. And that's what people do. You just got to go into the ad hominem. So he puts all this dumping of information. Just dump it, dump it, dump it. And then go, anybody believes that stupid crap, you biblical literalists? You're just so stupid and you're dumb. They're like, wow, I don't want to be one of those Christians. They're dumb. They don't think critically. Now let me, I don't mean to make fun of people. But I'll give an account for this one. I'm okay with this one. He says at the very end, and I don't know if you saw that, but he said, I'm surprised the Jews are still Jewish. What? So when you come to Jesus Christ, I'm no longer American. I'm Australian. Good day, mate. So when you come to Christ, you become a different nationality? I mean, really? This is the mentality. This is the thing. When you got dumping and then putting people down and then, my goodness, the Jewish people stopped being Jewish at some point. Matter of fact, into all eternity, the Jewish people are still Jewish. Matter of fact, during the millennial reign and into eternity, there's a separate nation of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, and they still have the land of Palestine. They are resegregated back to land allotments in Israel in the millennium and then on into eternity. The Jewish people never stopped being Jewish. Matter of fact, there's land, there's different nations in the millennium. Oh, okay, I got to move on. So what happens is that atheists begin to, agnostics, they just begin to dump information. They begin to use ad hominems. They put people down. If you destroy their character, it doesn't matter if you have evidence. You can refute what they say. So be careful for those types of arguments and things. And then the problem is that Christians don't study for themselves. People don't know. And people give them hard information, and they're like, oh, wow, yeah, I don't know. And we wonder why people are leaving and walking away from Christianity, because we don't have good, hard answers, facts, some good, hard evidence to some of these hard questions. Listen to this. This is an atheist who does a lot of battles with William Lane Craig. And I want you to hear this, because this is one of the best arguments that people are like, oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah, maybe I don't know what I believe in Christianity. It's a hard one to defend. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
That's a very good place to start. Well, I think the one thing to notice is that the dialogue between science and religion has gone this way. It has been one of relentless and one-directional erosion of religious authority. I would challenge anyone here to think of a question on which we once had a scientific answer, however inadequate, but for which now the best answer is a religious one. Now, you can think of an uncountable number of questions that run the other way, where we once had a religious answer, and now the authority of religion has been battered and nullified by science and by moral progress and secular progress generally.
So the Bible and Bible thumpers and religion, they have given us the answers all through the centuries for thousands of years. But now science is coming up with the answers. And so now every time science finds out an answer, it destroys the foundations of religion. My goodness, it won't be long. We won't have a leg to stand on, will we? Right? Huh. Wow, let me think of a once where we had a scientific answer, but now we have to change our mind, and a religious answer is better. I don't know if I can come up with any, can you? Wow, that's kind of, I'm scared. Not really. Let me talk about DNA. You know what DNA is? You know what that is? DNA is the deoxyribonucleic acid, all right, DNA. What's that called, Matt?
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
You know, you miserable creep. He knows that. Dang it. That's a well-educated man. If he wasn't bigger than I was. Okay, he's got bigger DNA. So DNA, right? DNA structure. It's composed of two polynucleotides that are coiled around each other that form a double helix. And this is what you see there. I love DNA. Science loves DNA. It carries with it instruction. It's the language of life. And it carries with it instructions for development, function, growth, and reproduction. Everything in the universe has DNA in it. Now, listen. According to Answers Magazine, it says that a strand of DNA is a thousands and thousands times thinner than a strand of human hair. But one pinhead of DNA could hold enough information to fill stacks of books stretching from Earth to the moon and back 500 times. One pinhead of DNA. The language of life holds all this information. But But this is kind of a science killer. Because absolutely, scientifically proven, DNA does not create new information. Okay, what's that mean? Well, that means this. You only have the amount of information in DNA. So, a man and a woman, they have woman DNA, men DNA, they get together, they have baby DNA. Out comes a baby. It's still a human, right? The problem is that you will never get a different creature because there's no different amounts of information. DNA does not create information. It just passes along information. Now, DNA can lose information over time, right? But it will never create new information. Never. Never will it create new information. Well, what's wrong with that? That's not a big deal. The basis of evolution is that everything millions and millions and millions of years ago, and this little marsupial soup of whatever, wherever that come from, and this one-celled amoeba come out of it, and then everything evolved from a one-celled amoeba. Do you know a one-celled amoeba has very simple DNA? It's still got a language of the, you know, books that go to the moon and back, but it's got very simple DNA. So in order for that one-celled amoeba to create everything that we see today, you would have to create new points of information, right? I mean, I think Matt talked about a little bit about this last week. DNA does not create information, it loses it. So the basis of evolution is everything derived from everything else. You can't create new information. It's very interesting. The tenets of evolution says this created this and this developed into this. Now, I love this. This is an older one because he does not use this same premise anymore. So I had to go way back to find this one. Richard Dawkins, the leading atheist, right? Leading atheist in the world. He used to be a professor at Oxford University. And so he was asked this question. He's like, hey, you know, hey, Richie, DNA, bro, doesn't create new information. You say evolution evolved from this to this. Show me something now that we see evolving, creating new information. Roll this beautiful bean footage.
Professor Dawkins, can you give an example of a genetic mutation or an evolutionary process which can be seen to increase the information in the genome?
Can you just stop one? I think.
So he has him stop the tape. He goes, stop the tape right there. So he's got to gather himself. And he comes back on, and I won't bore you with all the stuff that he's got to go through this whole long information. But let me give you the Zedeker paraphrase of his response. He comes back on, and he says, okay, well, listen. Right now, DNA does not produce new information. We know that. We do not see it in anything that we see today. But millions and millions and millions of years ago, it happened. That's what he said. Well, how do you know? Now listen, and this is important. This is vitally important to what I'm trying to tell you. Because there is a difference in science. There's two sciences. There's observable science, what you can observe in the present, right? You believe in the laws of gravity? Guess what? I'm going to prove it. Just proved it. I'll prove it again. Right there. Boom. That's observable science in action. I can prove it again and again and again. I can reproduce the laws of gravity. That's observable science. The things that we can observe present today. But then there's a thing called historical science. You know what historical science is based on? Faith. Why do you say that? Because look, just like Matt talked about last week, I can't prove God. I can't prove creation. I can't prove anything in the past. Why? Because I didn't live back then. Only God did. Scientists did not live billions of years ago. They have no clue. We have the same evidence. They choose to interpret it differently. So don't let them use historical science as a basis for observable science. Because when it comes to DNA, we observe absolutely no new processes of DNA creating new information to mutate into a different species. And they can't go back in the past millions of years ago and prove it either. The starting point of both us and them is faith. Amen? Well, you just got to have faith. Oh, my goodness. So both sides of the argument are on the same page in the beginning. Science always has to change, but the Bible never does. DNA is the language book of life, the language book of life. Speaking of language, let me talk about the Tower of Babel. Probably one of the most neglected, but the most historical, significant event that happened in Christianity. And it's absolutely one that backs up what we believe. But Aaron Ra, he doesn't believe that. And he uses the same argument, I believe, because their reasoning is this. Well, your Bible was written thousands of years after all these other religions wrote down their stuff. And that's true. And that's irrelevant. But we didn't have, because Moses wrote it at Mount Sinai, right? That's when he began to write Genesis. Well, all this stuff began to happen. The Hindu Bible and the Hindu religion stuff, that was written in the days of Abraham, and some of the epics of Gilgamesh and the Sumerian and Egyptians, those were documented before. So yeah, there were nations that have written more religious stories than Christianity or Judaism, because that's written in the Old Testament, so that'd be Judaism. So he says that that refutes any claim from the Bible. Roll that footage. In the background is all of the flood
the
legends
absolute best
scrolling behind
on
him.
Your side. Really, the only thing they have is that a lot of people have made up stories just like this one. Every culture on every continent has their own collection of unique nonsense regarding catastrophes.
Well, not
like
nonsense, but we're on the same page. Entities,
such that there are many different myths about floods.
Okay.
I'm going back to my roots on this one. I started my activism and education advocacy back in the days of Usenet on news groups like Talk.Origins, where they have a list of many different flood myths told around the world. Most primitive peoples have been tormented by floods. Those are always dramatic events, so of course everyone has legends about that. But creationists say that means that everyone is telling or remembering the same story, and that's clearly not the case.
It is. It is the case. Now listen, I said I'm not using the Bible. I'm using logic and reason and science and history and archaeology. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Now I'm going to appeal to you people, and I want you to use your brain. Now, in Mexico and Puerto Rico, and then, of course, it goes down into the, like you cross over the border into a little bit of America, into the southern portions that connect into Mexico, they have these same type of legends. Everybody ever heard of El Chupacabra? Ever heard of that? That's awesome. It's a Mexican legend about some, beast, yeah, that come along to... took their kids and their livestock and all this stuff. And so, but that legend of El Chupacabra is very specific of Mexico. We don't have that in America. They don't have it in Canada. They don't have it in Africa. They don't have it in Australia. El Chupacabra is just to Mexico. And I mean, it could have changed names and so forth, but that thing that just takes babies and little animals is not in America. It's a local legend. A local legend. And so things have destroyed babies and livestock all the time. But we don't have the same type of legend. Those that live in Lucas. Do you know of, Mary Jane's grave. Right? You Lucas people? Mary Jane's grave. Do you know they don't have that in Australia? You know they don't have that in Africa, Europe, Asia, China, Russia, Canada? Well, they might, because we're like close to them, so like the ones right around there might have it. I don't know. It's a local legend. They're local legends. So when legends happen locally, sure, it's just going to be a local aspect. But when you want to talk about global legends, now listen, I'm appealing to your intellect. You guys are smart people, right? Three of you are. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, Paul says this. I'm speaking to wise people, well, three of them. But listen, you judge for yourselves. You judge for yourselves what I say. Don't just take my word for it. You judge for yourself. Just like Elijah. Remember when Elijah was out on Mount Carmel? And he was like, all right, if God's God, serve him. If Baal's God, serve him. And then God was God. And then all the Baal people ran and they killed him. And, And then they still went back because obviously they didn't believe God was God. It's like Paul talked about before Festus in Acts 26, verse 25. He says, listen, Festus, I'm not mad. He goes, I am speaking to you words of truth and reason. And that's all I'm doing. I'm compelling you to take the same argument he has, and I'm going to use it for my defense. So back in Genesis 11, we're not going to go there, but you know that that's the story of the Tower of Babel. There's one language. Everybody's the same. They're right there in the Babylonian area in Assyria. And so they're building this tower. They want to make a name for themselves. And God confuses their language, stops the tower from being made any further, and he scatters everybody around the world, right? That's the Tower of Babel. So here's my thing. This is the most important event that happened in Christian history. Because if Noah, who was alive during the days of Adam, you paying attention? Noah and the days of Adam. Remember, Adam lived 900 and some years, and then he got all those old genealogies and stuff, and then Noah's born back here. Noah would have been alive with all of these people up through here. I think Seth and all these other people that come down the line, Noah would have been able to talk to every one of them. You know how things were passed on? Oral tradition. They passed on to their family. So if Noah talked to all these patriarchs before the flood, then the flood happens. Guess what he's going to do with his sons? Because it's the only eight people on the earth, right? You're going to tell your sons, this is what God did. I talked to Adam, his son, his son's son, his son's 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 son. I talked to all of them back then. And what happened was, is this what they said happened? And I believe that. Then God judged the world, and boom, we were saved. Okay, let's go repopulate the earth. Well, they all gather in one little section. So Shem, Ham, Japheth, they had kids. Their kids had kids. Their kids had kids. On down the line, right? Okay, so when they come to the Tower of Babel, these are just the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They build the tower. God confuses their language and scatters them all around the world. What types of oral traditions are they going to have? Right? I mean, is that not plausible? Is that not logic and reason? That you're going to have the same stories that Seth and Methuselah and, you know, all those people down the line, all of them had. You're going to have the same oral traditions passed on to them. And so all the accounts of creation, sin, Garden of Eden, fall of man, the flood, and the Tower of Babel, all of those are going to be passed down orally. And if I believe that God scattered them around the globe, then around the globe, what are you going to have? Oral traditions about creation, sin, fall, garden, all that stuff, right? All right. Now let me give you some logic and reason. Let me talk about creation. In 1848 to 1876, they did an excavation that revealed tablets outside of the Bible. Another culture, another legend, years and years before. Some of the details are a little bit off, but let me give you some of the accounts. Number one, there was chaos in the beginning and there was darkness. Number two, God created light. Number three, he allowed the land to come out of the sea. Number four, he created man, and then God rested. Does that sound like the creation account? Man, I mean, I know all the details and some of the other aspects kind of get a little bit off, but that's pretty darn close to what we have. Do you know in the beginning civilizations of the Sumerians and the Egyptians and the original documents that go back to the earliest that we have excavated? Do you know the Egyptians were monotheistic? They believed that there was only one God. And over time, it got perverse and they believed in many gods. I think Egyptian has like over 2,500 different gods now. Or back then when Moses was walking. But originally, it was monotheistic. There was only one God. Sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? The Garden of Eden. Many of the ancient cultures around the globe, they have this beginning little garden that was perfect. It was pain-free, and there was no curse. Wonder where they got that from. Some have even stated that the lion did not kill the lamb, and the lion and lamb lived together in perfect harmony. That's kind of odd. And they said that there was no sickness or death. When did death occur? After the fall, right? God said, you eat the fruit, and boom, you're going to die. Okay, death occurred after that. That's amazing. Then when you talk about the fall, you go back to the Egyptians and so forth, there's a man named Adapa. Adapa was like the original Adam for us. He was the original man created, and he eventually went into corruption. And in 1932, E. Spicer from the University of PA, he found a temptation seal excavated from thousands of years ago. And it pictured a tree, and it pictured a man on one side and a woman on the other. And she was picking fruit from the tree, and you could see a serpent in the background. Isn't that amazing? Where'd they come up with all that stuff from around the world? I'm telling you, worldwide traditions of man falling into corruption. The universal flood. I wish I had time to go back into that. This is great. This is from Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis. These are all the flood legends all around the world. How awesome that is. Every continent around the world has a global flood legend. How do you think the same story got there? Aaron Ra says, well, that just disproves yours. And I say, no. The Tower of Babel, God spread every one of those people. Tower of Babel is going to be right up in here somewhere. Israel, Babel, Assyrians up here, Afghanistan somewhere. So boom, he spread everybody around the world. Why do you have a global flood legend around the world? Because there was a global flood. And Shem, Ham, and Japheth and his descendants spread around the world and they had the same oral traditions. Right? That's amazing. Matter of fact, Dr. Richard Andre collected 46 flood legends from North and South America, 20 from Asia, 2 from Europe, 7 from Africa, and 10 from the South Sea Islands in Australia. There's flood legends all around the world. Now listen to this. The Tower of Babel, the most historically accurate event to happen. Matter of fact, the Tower of Babel was excavated. Matter of fact, Eusebius and Plato, they talked about how a tower was conceived years ago, and it was of one language, and the god or gods, depending on which one was talking about, divided their language and destroyed the tower. Archaeological evidence have discovered where they believe that the ruins of the tower had been. Nebuchadnezzar himself wrote that the original tower was built in antiquity. And matter of fact, Alexander the Great, knowing that the Tower of Babel existed, wanted to go back and rebuild it. You remember when they wanted to build the tower and God confused their language and it stopped? And he said, guess what? Alexander the Great went to Babylon, tried to rebuild the tower, and you know what happened to him? He died at a very, very young age in Babylon. Wonder why. Now, I'm not saying that's why he died, but it's kind of... Listen, there are Tower of Babel legends all around the world. Why? If it's only a local event and nobody spread around the world, why do we have these legends? How did you go from, the map's not up there, but ruined my little illustration. How do you go from Europe to Australia? How do you go from America to Africa? How do you go around the world without being scattered from the same family, the same descendants? How do you go around there without being from the same people that had the same oral traditions? You're going to have different legends. You're not going to have a global flood, right? If you got different people that just developed by evolution, you're not going to have the same stories. Unless the Tower of Babel happened. And that's the most historically accurate event that happens. We have archaeological evidence. Matter of fact, Saddam Hussein tried to rebuild the Tower of Babel. Matter of fact, he did the Palace of Babel too. It's the Palace of Saddam, but anyway, you can go back to do that. We even have local legends in America about the Tower of Babel. Listen to this. In Arizona, we have this American Indian legend, and there's on the caves, inside the caves, there's all this information, but it talks about Tohono O'odham told that Montezuma escaped a global flood, all right, escaped a global flood. Wonder where he got that legend from. And they became very wicked as they attempt to build a house reaching to heavens. And then the great spirit in the sky destroyed it with a thunderbolt. Where do you get that legend from? Montezuma escapes a great flood and then tries to build a house to heaven and then the great spirit in the sky destroys it. Where do you get that stuff from? If not from oral tradition from the same family that had been scattered around the world. That's the greatest evidence we have. Oh. You remember Sam Harris? We got to close here and we're going to do that. You remember Sam Harris in the very beginning? He said, you name one thing where we first had a scientific answer, and now all of a sudden a religious one is a better answer. I'll give you one. There are some. Research them. Marxism. Marxism was the scientific study of society. People have done experiments on other human beings in the name of Marxism, in the name of science. Millions and millions of people died in the name of the scientific study of Marxism. Adolf Hitler was a Marxist. He did scientific studies on human beings in the name of science. And not all other religions around the world. Christianity was the only religion that went in to stop him because it's the preservation of life. That's one where science was wrong and religion had a better answer. Defend yourself, people. I'm telling you, there are answers out there. There's many more. I love that one. Oh, because when people come up with that, they go, well, we know that science is not really science now. They got to change their answer now. As I always say, science always changes. The Bible never does. Let me give you one real quick. I know we're out of time. This is free. This is good stuff. Go back to DNA. Remember DNA? When a man and a woman come together, at conception, pay attention, at conception, the child has a different set of DNA. Not your DNA, not your body, not your choice. Amen?
Amen.
Problem is, we're not going to win an argument. I can stand and I can go in the face of Aaron Ra, and he'll never believe anything I've got to say. We're not here to win an argument, folks. We're here, don't cast your pearl among swine. That's probably a good illustration. Jesus says, don't pour your life into people that want nothing to do with Christ. Only pour your life into people that have questions or want to know this information. That's what you do. Dr. Scott Todd, he's an immunologist at Kansas State University. He said, even if the data, the evidence, and the truth points to an intelligent designer, such a hypothesis is excluded from science because it's not naturalistic or humanistic. Even if the evidence points to God, the atheists say, we're still not going to believe it because I can't. Science is my God. I will always refute that, and I'll always believe this. You can't defend that. You can't go against that. If you're not going to believe the truth, I don't know what you want me to say. But here's the problem. They're still accountable for it. They're definitely still accountable for it. And you ask the question, well, why do they hate the truth so much? It's because they rejected God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 22 says this in the NLT. It says they know the truth about God. God has made it obvious to them. Matt talked about that hole that's in there that only God can fill. And they have tried to satisfy that hole with everything else, but they can't. Only God fills that. They know the truth about God because he's made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth, the sky, through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature so that they are without excuse for not knowing God. Verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. And they began to serve science and man and humanism and naturalism. And every result has to be that as opposed to God. And instead, they became utter fools. The evidence is irrefutable. And folks, it's time we start defending our position. The world isn't getting any better. And William Lane Craig, and this will be it, and we'll be done. I would encourage you to have a list of arguments memorized. Because a lot of unsaved people don't have good reasons for what they believe. All they are doing is just regurgitating the same thing that somebody else says. Well, there's no real good evidence for God. That's all they're doing. Is just regurgitating what somebody else has told them. They're just saying that. So have some defense. Have some defense on some arguments. Memorize some of those things. I'm telling you, there's a war going on. And it's time we prepare for battle. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you just for your word, for science, for, you know what? If we believed in you and you to give us evidence, man, people could destroy us, but they can't. We need to be destroying their arguments. You have left us with so much evidence, insurmountable, that, man, we should believe by faith. I get it. But you've left us evidence. And that just even backs up our faith. It should make us stronger in our faith. Should get us to get up. Oh, we listened to Scott Jones' family talking in his funeral yesterday about how many people came to Christ because Scott Jones just stood up and preached Jesus Christ to everybody he came in contact with. And he lived a life. That's what they said. His lifestyle wooed them to Jesus. God, we need to set the example. We need to build a defense so that we know what we believe and go out into the world and live it. We need to be destroying arguments. God, we need to build a defense. We need to have some things memorized for some arguments against things that just aren't true. God, whatever the case, Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know your son, we just pray that maybe today would be the day of salvation. We just commit this invitation to you, and we pray you have your way, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.